From APM in Austin, Texas, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. We're here in South by Southwest to examine the influence of the tech industry on Austin and the world. One example of that influence, today we're coming to you from a condo. The regular resident is staying with a friend so they can make some cash. Thousands do this. Another way we're seeing the tech industry influence society is how people these days are hustling work. For instance, a ton of cab drivers in Austin this week are not from Austin. Lyft driver Bashar Al-Sultani is from Austin, but...
I'm planning to work only in South by Southwest, and after the South by Southwest, I'll cut off.
That's a plan that fits with a brand new policy the ride-hailing company has announced this week. Through Lyft's partnership with General Motors, drivers can now rent a car if they want to drive for Lyft. The more you drive, the lower the car rental fees get. Al-Sultani says he expects to pull in $1,000 just this week.
Yeah, because this week is so busy. The pay for the, you know, the ride is better. It's like double or more than double.
Most common occupational hazard, riders who have had too many. But Al-Sultani says it's worth it. There's no doubt that ride-hailing companies like Lyft and Uber are changing economies and the lives of their workers and users by changing the world of transportation. Another world in the midst of massive transition thanks to technology, genetics. Kate Black was here talking about this. She's the first ever privacy officer for 23andMe. It's a company with a business model of providing direct-to-consumer genetic information. Black described it this way.
Anybody can log in online, order one of our kits, spit in our fancy tubes, and then send that information off to the lab. As a result, we'll provide them with a spew of information back about themselves, including ancestral information, trait information.
23andMe is aimed at a fascinating future for genetics, collecting and selling data to consumers, maybe also to pharmaceutical companies. While we stood on a deck at the top of the convention center in Austin, I asked Black what her fears were as the company's first privacy officer.
I'm scared of what I don't know. I think it's hard to really define the scope of risks or worries that people have, especially about their genetic data. So
this is like, I feel like genetic data is like the most precious.
It's definitely the most unmutable, right? You're born with this code, you die with this code, you can't change it. So once it gets out there, right? And you really have to make sure you make smart decisions about that.
I imagine anonymization is part of this, right?
So as a part of being 23andMe customer, you always have the opportunity to participate in our research program. That's where anonymization really comes into play. All of our research is done at kind of the aggregate and de-identified level. So what that means specifically for us is that we remove all of their registration information and then aggregate the data. So we run Google searches on about 800,000 people, basically, within our research environment. And all we get as a result is the output of that information. So there's no real connecting to the individual or the group of people that are defined in that subset.
Can you talk about basically that new kind of interaction between your company and pharmaceutical companies, other companies that might want to use your data?
Sure. You know, we really believe that the next generation of drugs will be developed in a personalized, unique way, so that they can be specifically tailored to help treat specific conditions and specific manifestations of conditions for individuals.
This is a crazy, a weird idea.
It's a 180 from the way that drugs are currently developed, where you assume that everyone, no matter your gender, race, ethnicity, background, is going to react to a disease in the exact same way.
How soon are we going to see this stuff manifest, like, for realsies?
I'd say in the next 5 years, we're starting to see some real progress. So the era of genetics is upon us. We're kind of full throttle into figuring out exactly what that means. And I think the first real results and output of the movement will probably be seen in the next 5 to 10 years.
Kate Black, she's the privacy officer and corporate counsel for 23andMe. Kate, thanks for talking about this stuff.
Hey, thanks for having me.
As you walk around downtown Austin, art is everywhere. Entire buildings get painted just for South By. Graffiti gets commissioned. At the same time, there's a flood of social media being sent to people's feeds, including photos of art and just artsy photos. If you want to talk to one of the best minds thinking about where the real art world intersects with the digital world, you got to talk to Sri Srinivasan. He's the chief digital officer for the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Prior to that, he held a similar job at Columbia University. This week, the Met is opening a new space called the Met Breuer. I sat down with Sri and asked him about being the digital leader at older institutions.
The way I think about the chief digital officer role is that there was at one time a chief telephone officer, and the telephone became easy enough for everybody to learn. And there's still someone at these institutions in charge of telephones, but they're not in the C-suite. As technology becomes easier, it's going to get easier for CEOs and others to use technology. And I call the chief digital officer's role the chief listening officer, where you're listening to what are trends out there, and then which are the trends that make sense for us to be involved with.
How do you draw the line between trying to be tech forward and at the same time be aware of this possibility that sometimes it's just about looking at the art?
I think that's a great question and something that we think a lot about in what we're doing. Our director, Tom Campbell, has said we have three physical locations, the Met Fifth Avenue, the Met Cloisters, which is in Upper Manhattan, and the newest location, the Met Breuer. And what he said is we have a fourth location, a fourth space, and the fourth space is the digital Met. And can we be treating all four venues of equal value? And that's a big leap for an industry and an organization that thrives on people physically coming in the door.
Sri Srinivasan is the chief digital officer for the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Sri, thank you for talking to me here at South by Southwest.
I really appreciate the opportunity.
More from us on Twitter. I'm at the Brock Johnson, and I'm Snapchatting from Marketplace APM. And that's our show today. This is APM.